Let's turn in God's word to Joshua and Joshua chapter 21. In Joshua 21, we'll be reading verses 1 through 45. Joshua 21, 1 through 45. And God's people, let's seek the Lord's face in prayer. Our Father, thank you that you speak to us your word, that even by warning us, you encourage us to look in hope for the world to come, in heaven and eternity with you forever and ever. And yet here you remind us of our state now as your children on earth, even through the Levites. And so help us and grant us your provision and protection all our days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua 21, verse 1. These are God's words. Then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites unto Eleazar the priest and unto Joshua the son of Nun and unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they spake unto them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, The Lord commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in, with the suburbs thereof for our cattle. And the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance, at the commandment of the Lord, these cities and their suburbs. And the lot came out for the families of the Kohathites, and the children of Aaron the priest, which were of the Levites, had by lot out of the tribe of Judah, and out of the tribe of Simeon, and out of the tribe of Benjamin, 13 cities. And the rest of the children of Kohath had by lot out of the families of the tribe of Ephraim, and out of the tribe of Dan, and out of the half-tribe of Manasseh, 10 cities. And the children of Gershon had by lot out of the families of the tribe of Issachar, and out of the tribe of Asher, and out of the tribe of Naphtali, and out of the half-tribe of Manasseh in Bashan, 13 cities. The children of Merari, by their families, had out of the tribe of Reuben, and out of the tribe of Gad, and out of the tribe of Zebulun, 12 cities. And the children of Israel gave by lot unto the Levites these cities with their suburbs, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. And they gave out of the tribe of the children of Judah, and out of the tribe of the children of Simeon, these cities which are here mentioned by name, which the children of Aaron, being of the families of the Kohathites, who were other children of Levi, had, for theirs was the first lot. And they gave them the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron, and the hill country of Judah, with the suburbs thereof round about it. But the fields of the city and the villages thereof gave they to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for his possession. Thus they gave to the children of Aaron the priest Hebron, with her suburbs, to be a city of refuge for the slayer, and Libna with her suburbs, and Jatir with her suburbs, and Eshtemoah with her suburbs, and Holon with her suburbs, and Debir with her suburbs, and Ayin with her suburbs, and Juta with her suburbs, and Beth Shemesh with her suburbs, 9 cities out of those 2 tribes. And out of the tribe of Benjamin, Gibeon with her suburbs, Gibba with her suburbs, and Athoth with her suburbs, and Almon with her suburbs, 4 cities. All the cities of the children of Aaron, the priests, were 13 cities with their suburbs. And the families of the children of Kohath, the Levites, which remained of the children of Kohath, even they had the cities of their lot out of the tribe of Ephraim. For they gave them Shechem with her suburbs in Mount Ephraim, to be a city of refuge for the slayer, and Gezer with her suburbs, and Kibzaim with her suburbs, and Bethoron with her suburbs, 4 cities. And out of the tribe of Dan, Alteca with her suburbs, Gibbethon with her suburbs, Ajalon with her suburbs, Gath-Rimmon with her suburbs, 4 cities. And out of the half tribe of Manasseh, Tanakh, with her suburbs, and Geth Rimon, with her suburbs, two cities. All the cities were 10, with their suburbs for the families of the children of Kohath that remained. And unto the children of Gershon, of the families of the Levites, out of the other half tribe of Manasseh, they gave Golan and Bashan with her suburbs to be a city of refuge for the slayer, and Baesh Terah with her suburbs, two cities. And out of the tribe of Issachar, Kishon with her suburbs, Deborah with her suburbs, Jarmuth with her suburbs, and Ganim with her suburbs, four cities. And out of the tribe of Asher, Mishal with her suburbs, Abdon with her suburbs, Helkath with her suburbs, Rehob with her suburbs, four cities. And out of the tribe of Naphtali, Kedesh in Galilee with her suburbs, to be a city of refuge for the slayer. And Hamath Dor with her suburbs, and Carton with her suburbs, three cities. And the cities of the Gershonites, according to their families, were 13 cities with their suburbs. And unto the families of the children of Merari, the rest of the Levites, out of the tribe of Zebulun, Jokneam with her suburbs, Karta with her suburbs, Dimna with her suburbs, Nahalal with her suburbs, four cities. And out of the tribe of Reuben, Bezer with her suburbs, and Jahazah with her suburbs, Kedamoth with her suburbs, Mephaath with her suburbs, four cities. And out of the tribe of Gad, Ramoth and Gilead with her suburbs, to be a city of refuge for the slayer, and Mahanaim with her suburbs, Heshbon with her suburbs, Jazer with her suburbs, four cities in all. So all the cities for the children of Merari by their families, which were remaining of the families of the Levites, were by their lot 12 cities. All the cities of the Levites within the possession of the children of Israel were 48 cities with their suburbs. These cities were every one with their suburbs round about them. Thus were all these cities. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Those are God's words. The different land inheritances have been allotted to all the tribes of Israel. And the last chapter, the six cities of refuge have been determined as the Lord promised. And now we come here to the final group and tribe to receive their portion. And yet they don't actually receive a portion of any land. What was to become of the Levites to the west of the Jordan? That's our question that this chapter answers. And the answer is very similar to what happened to those east of the Jordan that we've already read about, and yet we read here again about them. The Levites were allotted cities, not territories, not property, but cities to live in. They did not get these cities. They did not own these cities. In other words, they were merely given these cities to live in, of which the cities themselves were the property and inheritance of the other tribes. And that's why the other tribes in this chapter were mentioned. And by now we should know why. That is, the Levites, why they do not have or receive their own inheritance of land themselves. We should know that by now. We've read the passage in Genesis 49 many times. It says there, Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly, mine honor. But be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. Simeon, the tribe of Simeon was divided in Jacob, having been surrounded by Judah and property. And so they're divided from the rest of the tribes. Levi scattered here, throughout all Israel. In Genesis 49, that was the punishment of Levi's sin, Jacob's son Levi, his sin with his brother Simeon. And yet Jehovah, in the time of Joshua 21 and following, made it for a blessing upon his covenant people, Israel. You think about the duty of the Levites. Let us remember what they were called to. Numbers chapter 1, it says, "But thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of testimony, over and over all the vessels thereof, and over all things that belong to it. They shall bear the tabernacle and all the vessels thereof, and they shall minister unto it, and shall encamp round about the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle setteth forward, the Levite shall take it down. And when the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levite shall set it up, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death." The Levites cared for the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, for the worship of God on earth. And as they moved through the wilderness, it was the Levites who would take the tabernacle down, and they would carry it along. And when they stopped at a place, they would set it back up. But now they have come to, with the tabernacle, to Shiloh. Remember, that's where they're at now, in Ephraim and Shiloh. A place that seems like they're not going to move for a long time, and they don't move for a long time. In Numbers chapter 3, it says, just two chapters later after what we just read, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Bring the tribe of Levi near, and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him, and they shall keep his charge and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation, to do the service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation and the charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle." Now, something that we need to realize that we see in our passage in chapter 21 is that the Levites, not all the Levites were priests. Certainly the children were not priests, the women were not priests, and even certain ages were no longer serving, at least at the tabernacle, but yet were priests. But not all Levites, those who descend from Levi, who are male, were priests. But we also know all priests are Levites. So not all Levites are priests, but all priests are Levites. To go further, Levi fathered three sons, which became, we might say, three clans of one tribe or three family groups that we see here in our passage named as a people group, coming and descending from the three sons of Levi. Those three sons were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. If you go back in time, those were the sons of Levi. And you may remember these names if you were here when we went through Chronicles, which was very important to remember, to when we consider the singing and playing of instruments in the temple and singing of psalms and of Gershon, Kohath, and Merari, fathered of them, Kohath. Kohath fathered Amram. Amram fathered Hur, and Hur fathered Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. And so Miriam, Aaron, and Moses come from the clan, we might say, or family group of Kohath. And from the clan of Kohath, the descendants of Moses were not priests. Only the sons of Aaron were priests. Of course, Miriam, she's not, she was married off. She's not one of Levi, or, you know, one of the Levites, or if she was, she married someone from, forget, she married someone from Moses' descendants or Aaron's, but most likely, I forget, maybe it does mention it in Scripture, but I forget now. She married someone from another tribe, which most women did. And so Moses, the descendants of Moses were not priests, the descendants of Aaron were the priests. And the line after Kohath. There was one line of the high priest directly descending from Aaron, and then particularly certain sons, and then the rest, normal Levitical priests and his line. And so the Kohathites that were Levitical priests, and then the Gershonites who were Levitical priests, the other family tribe or family clan, and then the Merarites were the other Levitical priests. They had the duty overseeing and managing the entire sacrificial system of Israel, the ceremonial law, the ceremonial worship of God's people before the tabernacle and temple. And this is confirmed, verse 4. It says, "And the lot came out for the families of the Kohathites and the children of Aaron the priests, which were of the Levites." Now, not all of the Levites from Kohath, but the Levites who were of Aaron. So there's a distinction first here. The first group that's mentioned are those who descended from Aaron, not Moses. But more than that, Leviticus 10 teaches us, after Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire and they were consumed with fire from Jehovah, and the Lord called them to the following: "And that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses." And so this is where the Lord, working out the evil of Levi, right? Jacob's son Levi, his evil in Genesis 49, and that punishment of being scattered throughout all the land inheritances of the tribes. Jehovah working this for good of not only the tribe of Levi, but all the covenant people of God. And so, yes, the tribe of Levi, by their family and their clans, were scattered throughout all Israel. They were part of different cities and different tribes, all scattered around. But as the Levites had been set apart to the labors of the holy things, they also became the teachers of Israel of everything to do with Jehovah and things holy. The priests were the Old Testament local pastors. And that's what Jehovah effectively implements here, as the Levites are sent off and scattered throughout the various cities belonging to the tribes of Israel. And so he works that which was sin and evil at the first and judgment. He, by his mercy, works it for the good of his people. And for the same reason, congregations are to provide for their ministers. So it was in Israel for the priests who taught the people the word of the Lord, Deuteronomy 14. It says, "And a Levite that was within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee." Right? Talking about exactly what we've heard in our passage. "At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and shalt lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest." And so one of the ways the covenant people of Israel provided and cared for their pastors, the Levites, was to furnish them cities to live in, that we see here in our passage, and pasture lands, which is talked about in the word suburbs that you heard many times, for their animals. And so here come the Levites in Joshua 21, verse 1. This is, we've already read the other scriptures talking about this and commanding this and promising this. So the Levites come in chapter 21 and they say, "Then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites unto Eleazar the priest, and unto Joshua the son of Nun, and unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they spake unto them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, The Lord commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in, with the suburbs thereof for our cattle. And the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance at the commandment of the Lord these cities and their suburbs." Again, though we've covered this previously, this is why we have those verses in the New Testament after Christ's death and resurrection of providing for our ministers and pastors, the same as for these Old Testament priests, the pastors then. And so in the church, we think we need to keep the pastor, some in the church think that we need to keep pastor humble and poor so that he'd be humble, right? And pastors sometimes think This is an easy way to become rich, right? But the Lord says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they that who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. And in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says that as the apostles, they have not required this lest it become a stumbling block of the gospel, but nonetheless it's true. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal or physical things? Right? If the pastor sows the spiritual things among you and you're blessed in that way, it isn't so great of a thing, Paul's saying, to consider that ministers should reap a portion of your carnal and physical things as you are reaping the many spiritual things from their labors. And so here, as the Levites, who are the spiritual leaders and teachers of Israel, they have earthly needs, as do pastors today. We need the church and the whole church, as like all the tribes, are to care for those who spiritually minister to us. All the Levites here, verses 1 through 3, they come, they seek cities to dwell in, to be cared for, and they come to Eleazar the high priest and Joshua, who is the covenant mediator, and the leaders of the tribes. The other tribes, as we've shown from Scripture, their request is based on the will of God. We read His commands already in Numbers 1 and 3 and Deuteronomy, Numbers 10 as well. We read His commands concerning the Levites and their portion. And so here they come and they plead that Israel, honor Jehovah and His command and His promise to us. Even if that means being scattered throughout all Israel, honor the Lord. Now, there are no tribes that are too lowly or too small or too poor. None are exempt in providing cities for the Levites. Nor would a tribe want to not have the Levites as they were coming to be the teachers of God's word among them. That the Lord would bless all the people as they came to hear every Sabbath the teaching of these pastors at the city gates as well. And Numbers 35, we read last week, the very long passage, you remember? And the very first part of that talks about the Levites. You remember it said, and among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be six cities for refuge, which ye shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither. And to them ye shall add 42 cities. So six cities plus the 42. And so all the cities which ye shall give to the Levites shall be 48 cities. Them shall ye give with their suburbs. And the cities which ye shall give shall be of the possession of the children of Israel. From them that have many ye shall give many. But from them that have few ye shall give few. Every one shall give of his cities unto the Levites according to his inheritance, which he inheriteth. And so the Levites are given 48 cities, not for a possession to keep as their own, but to dwell in, to live in. And in those 48, six of them we mentioned last Lord's Day are cities of refuge for the manslayer. And here in verses 1 through 3, here are the Levites seeking. They're seeking what God has commanded. They're seeking what God has promised, and therefore they're seeking God's will. We know God's will from His word. And so they come seeking what the Lord has promised to them. Just like Caleb came, right? Caleb came and he said, the Lord has promised unto me because I went with you, Joshua, to spy out the land. And I did not succumb to sin in that time. But I believed that the Lord was able to deliver this land, even from the giants, into our hand. And so the Lord promised me a possession of my own. And so Caleb came. And then also the five daughters of Zelophehad. You remember them? They didn't have brothers. Their father had no heirs, and so the five daughters, the Lord promised, right? The Lord promised the five daughters each an inheritance. And we already heard that. You remember that, beloved, a few chapters ago. We learn, beloved, that when the Lord commands something, and when the Lord has promised something, what the Lord has authorized us to have, then in such things, beloved, we are to come boldly and more boldly to the Lord in prayer. Come seeking these things. And that's effectively what they, the Levites, are doing here. Seeking His promises. Seeking the grace to keep His commandments and see that they have, that they be obeyed. Seek to gain those things He's authorized for our good. You see, these things, beloved, the Lord reveals to us and promises us and commands us, gives us a great confidence to come to His throne and seek after these things, as we've seen with Caleb and the five daughters and now the Levites. And when we come in such a way, we already know. How can we come so boldly? We already know the answer to the prayer. Because God has said and promised that this will come about. And so we can pray in faith, knowing that the Lord will grant them these petitions to us. For the Lord who promised is faithful. The Lord who commands will grant you the grace if you seek to obey Him. And again, those of the Levites receiving cities were of the Kohathites, the Gershonites, and the Merarites. The Kohathites, if we were to continue in the passage, received 23 cities. That's just over half the cities, or just a little bit under half the cities, just to the Kohathites. 13 cities from the inheritances of the tribe of Judah and Simeon and Benjamin. Remember where those were? They're in the far south, to the west of the Jordan, the far south, and that would include Jerusalem. These were for the priestly Levites from Kohath, from the Kohathites. So those who descended from Aaron received those cities in Judah and Benjamin and Simeon. Those tribes to the far south, including Jerusalem. And that's important. Again, remember that at this time the tabernacle is in Shiloh, which was in Ephraim, not Judah. And yet the priestly Levites, that's those descending from Aaron of the Kohathites, they are sent south where the tabernacle was not at to show in the future where the temple would be built, beloved. And then for the Kohathites, the other Kohathites, those who descended from Moses, they were not priests. They received 10 cities where? Ephraim, Dan, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Those were given, those cities were given for the non-priestly Levites from Kohath, from Moses' descendants. That's central Canaan. So again, they are now at Shiloh. And you remember how we mentioned a couple of times now the rivalry between Ephraim and Judah. And you think of that. Here Ephraim receives the non-priestly Levites. Judah had received the priestly Levites after Aaron. And one of those cities of Judah was the city Caleb was given in Hebron, verse 12. It says, but the fields of the city and the villages thereof gave they to Caleb the son of Jephunneh for his possession. But right before that, verse 11, they gave to these priests Hebron with the suburbs there around about it. That was Caleb's possession. And they gave him, they gave these Levites his city to dwell in and the area around it. Caleb received the open fields and villages in the Hebron region, while the priests were able to have the city itself and the pasture lands near around Hebron. And then, as we see, the whole Kohathites, priestly, non-priestly, their cities are given through verse 26. And then verses 27 to 33, the Gershonites received 13 cities, which were among the tribes of Issachar and Asher and Naphtali and the half-tribe of Manasseh across the Jordan, on the east side of the Jordan. Therefore, the Gershonites lived in the far north of Canaan. They lived in the far north of Canaan. And then the Merarites, verses 34 through 40, received 12 cities in the land of Reuben and Gad and Zebulun. Reuben and Gad, you remember, they're to the east of the Jordan River in the south, and then in Zebulun to the west of the Sea of Galilee. So kind of northern Canaan, but right to the south, right to the west of the Sea of Galilee. And that was for the Merarites. Now, we ought to take this time as our synod a long time ago ruled that it was wise to bring out that when the temple was prepared for under David and then built by Solomon, but prepared under David and the ark moved no more after it came to Jerusalem, that these Levitical priests no longer had a duty, right? Their duty was what so far up until this point? And unto the time of David, it was to carry the tabernacle around. It was to tear the tabernacle down and set it back up when they moved throughout the wilderness. And then they came to Shiloh, and their duty would be to serve according to their 2 weeks a year and things like that. Then they'd go back and they'd teach in their cities where they lived. But when the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant comes to rest in Jerusalem, under David, these Levitical priests had no more duty according to God's commandment. And these priestly tribes, then the Lord commanded them a new duty under David, under the leadership of three men. If you remember from Chronicles, after each of those clans, the Kohathites, the Gershonites, and the Merarites, those men, if you remember from each of those tribes or each of those family clans, were Hemon, Asaph, and Jeduthun, or Ethan. And to them, Jehovah made them prophets also, at least the leaders right there, the prophets in writing the psalms that we sing today. As well as there, for the first time in worship, the playing of instruments, musical instruments, and serving merely as a reminder that this the Lord commanded as a core part of His worship. We call that today, in doctrinal terms, we call that an element of worship, right? Something that's the core part of worship, whether it's singing of psalms, reading of God's word, singing of God's word, the sacraments. Those are the core parts of worship, what we call those elements today. And yet, as many of those things of the Old Testament worship or ceremonial worship, Christ's final sacrifice brought an end to all the musical instruments in worship. Because Christ's final sacrifice abolished the entire ceremonial law, the ceremonial worship. There was no more altar, no more temple, no more mercy seat on earth, no more Levitical priests, no more musical instruments. And yet today, many in the Reformed world of Christianity, if pushed, you know, if you're having a conversation about it, if you push them, not in a negative way, but, you know, keep prodding them, they will say that instruments are not absolutely essential. That is, they're not absolutely core to worship. They will say that because you could ask them the question, would it be a sin? Is it a sin for us to not have musical instruments in worship? And they would say, of course, it's not a sin to not have instruments in worship. Would that be a sin? They would say no. And so in that, they're saying what? The instruments are not core and essential to God's worship. But what they do say then is that it's a circumstance. Now, a circumstance of worship is something indifferent, that worship cannot happen unless you have those things. And so we have seats because we sit down, so we have seats. Now, do we absolutely have to have seats? No. But it's something indifferent. We have to sing. We have to sing from the words together, because God commands us to sing the Psalms. And so we have psalters, right? Books, hymnals that we open and sing from. Circumstances are like the time we meet, 11 and 6 p.m. on the Lord's Day, so that we can all have the same time and not come randomly to worship whenever, at 2 a.m. or whatever. That's a circumstance of worship. A circumstance is something indifferent without which the people could not worship, without which the people could not sing. And that's the argument they use, that we cannot sing without instruments, because we wouldn't be able to sing. And yet we prove ourselves every Lord's Day that God's people can sing the Lord's songs without musical instruments or assistance by way of instruments, even when we are not very skilled singers, are we? Most of us are not very skilled at singing, yet we're still able to do it. And those things also we ought to realize as we go through the scriptures. We ought to realize that those things that were once elements or once core to the very central part of God's worship have to have these parts and can only do these parts because God commanded them to be done. They cannot be later changed to be circumstances. They're either core to His worship or not. They're either commanded and we must use them, or they're not commanded and we must not use them. There's no other example of that in all of Scripture where an element or a core part of worship is taken and made into a circumstance or something indifferent. And furthermore, the musical instrument language that we have in the New Testament we have is primarily in Paul's letters. And that applied to pluck the heart, right? The instruments are made to be spiritual. They're spiritually applied to pluck the heart strings in our singing. And then some will say, yes, but the Psalms were part of ceremonial worship too. They sang the Psalms. They were instituted at the temple, right? No. To be more clear, they were already part of God's worship as they met in the different cities in the synagogues, right? When the priests came and they taught, and they sang what? They sang the Psalms. And in those synagogues, did they have instruments? No, they did not. And the synagogue is often more similar or comparable to New Testament or worship today, instead of the temple, which was all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And we also know, of course, the 2 Chronicles 36 passage, the sacrifices were offered. And the Lord said, after the sacrifices were finished, that the priests stopped playing the instruments, but the singers kept singing. Showing that the singing of the Psalms was core to God's worship on earth and in heaven. The Psalms kept singing, but the instruments are done away with in Christ. When the final sacrifice is offered, the instruments are done away with or abolished. And as we think of that also, the singing of Psalms was never ceremonial in nature, though they were sung at the temple. For the singing of the Psalms are moral in nature and will be sung by God's children forever. In that way, the singing of Psalms is no different than the reading of the law when we speak of worship. And yet, while singing the Psalms is continually commanded in the New Testament and thus designed by the Lord as not me being ceremonial in nature, as we just said, there's no positive continuances of musical instruments in worship, for they are no different than the laver of washing or the altar of sacrifice, all abolished by the final sacrifice of Christ. And since our synod recommends that we speak of those two subjects of a cappella, or no instruments, singing the Psalms once a year. Oh, I include that today. But notice our passage ends, verse 41. All the cities of the Levites within the possession of the children of Israel were 40 and 8 cities with their suburbs. These cities were every one with their suburbs round about them. Thus were all these cities. So the Levites, again, they didn't have their own property. They didn't have their own land that they received. They were scattered throughout all these other tribes. And in the other tribes' property, they were living in other people, on the other people's property. And they taught the people. They taught the tribe of Dan and the tribe of Judah, right? They taught the people of Israel God's law. And praise the Lord for that. But then listen to the summary of the entire allotment of inheritance. So you go back to chapter 14, I think it's chapter 14, when it started with Caleb and all the land being given to the different tribes. Now it's summarized, all of it here, since everyone and all the tribes have been given their portion. It says in the Lord, verse 43, and the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Now, three times you heard in those three verses that the Lord gave this land to Israel. That this land is the gift of God, pointing us to the guarantee of that promise that Abraham looked forward to in that heavenly country. That it will also be ours, the new heavens and the new earth. And as the Lord promised, he gave them rest from their enemies. Verse 44, on every side, he gave them rest. And verse 45, all the Lord promised came to pass. So in this passage, there are two main things the Lord teaches us. First, and once again, that Jehovah is eternally and infinitely faithful to his promises. Always faithful. You cannot name one that he was not faithful in one of his promises. He's always been faithful to you, to the church, to the world. He's always faithful to what he says. Second, like the Levites, never were home, never had their own land, but in the land promised to God's people, they were sojourners. They were sojourners. Christians, too, are sojourners. And we will inherit the earth, beloved. We heard that in Matthew's gospel. And yet here and now we are sojourners. Sojourners are not home. Strangers, aliens, pilgrims. The language to describe the Levites living in these cities is like the language of an alien or sojourner in a foreign land. They're in the land of someone else. They're in the land of Dan. They're in the land of Zebulun. They're in the land of Simeon. They were their cities, and the Levites lived in those cities. Psalm 119 says, I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. David even says, Psalm 39 that we're singing today, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner as all my fathers were. David said that. David says he's a sojourner. You remember how 1 Peter begins. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And in this sense, we are like the Levites, beloved, because we have no land inheritance here and now, but we anticipate such an inheritance right, we will inherit the earth. It's 1 Peter 1:4. We just read from that chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Right? Hope is the future. Unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Praise the Lord. So like Abraham, just like Abraham, we receive the promises of the Lord now. And all who believe on Christ have the promises. They have them guaranteed. And yet, to look to our home in glory, a heavenly country with the Lord forever. And that future that awaits all who believe on Christ, turning from their sins, is verse 43, a land which the Lord swore to our fathers to give. And now they have gone on, our fathers have, they've gone on and possessed it, and they dwell there in glory. Praise the Lord. And when we are brought to that same heavenly land, verse 44, we will have rest round about. We'll have rest from every on every side, rest from our enemies, rest for our souls, rest from our sins. Rest in the Lord, as the Lord even foreshadows for us every Lord's Day. And one theologian said this of our future rest, that it is the end and perfection of motion. The saints' rest here in question is the most happy estate of a Christian, having obtained the end of his course. Or it is the perfect, endless fruition of God by the perfect, perfected saints, according to the measure of their capacity to which their souls arrive at death, and both soul and body most fully after the resurrection and final judgment. There, thy graces will be mighty, active, and victorious, and the daily joy which is thus fetched from heaven will be thy strength. And so then what are you assured of these things that you look upon in this life and consider? Consider then that men's threatenings will be no terror to thee, not the horrors of this world any strong enticement. Temptations will be more harmless, having lost their strength, and afflictions less grievous, as having lost their sting, and every mercy will be better known and relished. If you would understand and believe with all your heart that you're sojourners here and now, and that your home is in heaven with the Lord, and he is bringing you home. And as now we are sojourners, we're scattered on the earth, we're pilgrims, but we will all be at the last gathered together unto the Lord in Christ, and we will reign with him forever. God's people, the Lord grants us rest, and we'll do so perfectly in the end. And with that, we praise the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful that you have made us to be sojourners and pilgrims in this strange land, and a land filled with great evils. And yet your gospel and your grace reigns because Christ sits on the throne. And so, Father, we do pray and we do plead that you would bear forth the gospel through us weak instruments, and the nations would come unto you, and that all of us today would have a great hope and the great home that awaits us, and full and perfect communion with Jesus Christ forever and ever. Lord, we ask that you would grant us that hope, and a strong hope and a strong faith in hope and your promises, that you will give us rest, not only in you, but from the great enemies of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Father, turn our hearts unto you as we are weak pilgrims. Strengthen us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.